We're talking with MMA fighter Tristan Yuncker right now, and Tristan, when we spoke to you last week, you had the world ahead of you. You were fighting Pete Spratt, looking to move on from your loss against Rob Kimmins a couple of months ago, and then it seemed as though this past weekend was one that you'll surely like to forget. So let's start from the beginning. Where did everything go wrong for you leading up to HGNet fights?
Basically, the day before weigh-ins, you know, things started to go downhill. I started to feel the weight cut, and I still thought I was going to make it, but then the day of came in, still had 3 pounds to cut at weigh-ins, and they gave us 2 hours, and I only cut 1 pound in that 2 hours, and my body just slowed down. Basically, and then from there it was all downhill the rest of the way.
At what point last week did you realize that you were going to be unable to make the weight?
I thought even at the weigh-ins when they gave us the additional 2 hours, I thought I'd still be able to make it. But they actually came in while I was cutting weight about a half hour early, because they started weigh-ins at 1 and said I only had 2 hours from them, or from then on, which we didn't actually weigh in until 1:30. And so I only got the hour and a half. Not that that really probably would have made a difference, but it's still, unfortunate. And I can't apologize enough for not making weight. It was just unprofessional and disrespectful.
Did you ask them for that extra half hour, or at that point did you just let it go?
No, I asked them. I said we didn't start weighing until Guy Metzger came up to the sauna where I was cutting weight and said it was time for me to come back down and weigh in, and I said it's only 3 o'clock, I didn't weigh until 1:30. He said, well, Wayne started at 1, and, I tried to contest it, but they weren't hearing it.
I'm curious as to how Guy handled the whole situation. He seems like a pretty straight shooter. Did he have anything to say to you, following the fact that when it was official that you were unable to make the weight?
Yeah, Guy, actually, I really appreciate the way he handled it. He was really professional about it. Didn't really give me any slack for it. I apologized to him profusely and apologized to Pete. But I think it was really handled well on HGNet Fight's part.
Now, you've been fighting for a long time. You have well over 15 fights under your belt, and you've wrestled for a long time. Had you ever been faced with a situation quite like this one?
Earlier in my career, and even in wrestling, yeah, I just get burnt out, I've been competing and cutting weight for over half my life now, and it's just... I want to get away from it for a while, take a break. I actually think it's going to be better for my career and add some, I'm 22 years old. I got 20 more years in the sport if I want it. So I think a break will be good. And then I'm going to do some stuff. I got some pretty big plans for what I'm going to do on my time off.
Can you talk about some of those plans now?
Obviously I'm going to concentrate on my matchmaking duties and my managing duties. That's one thing I really want to work on and begin to excel at, because it's something I really have a passion for, just like I have a passion for fighting. When I come back, fighting will be first, obviously. So what I'm planning on doing on the break, I'm probably going to take 2 to 3 months off where I'm not even worried about training. And then after that, I'm going to come back strong. And then I think over the summer, I'm actually going to spend a month in Thailand and train some stand-up.
You know, when I spoke to you last week, we talked a little bit about your devastating loss to Rob Kimmins, one that you were so sure that you were going to defeat him. And then I wondered if maybe this fight was too soon, if that fight hadn't left your conscious yet. do you credit that fight as being maybe some of the reasons why you didn't put up the performance that you would have liked?
No, not in any way. I think I honestly don't even feel bad about the defeat from Pete Frere. I mean, obviously the guy's a 7-time UFC vet. He's a stud, but I got cut, you know. It's something that was out of my control, and I honestly feel that if I hadn't got cut, it would have made the difference in the fight. But I panicked after the cut, and that's what I got, you know. I tried to finish really quick because I felt that if I didn't finish, it was going to get stopped, which it ended up getting stopped, and unfortunately, that's the way the bricks fall, I guess.
Now let's talk a bit about the fight. You know, it didn't really last that long. Obviously, like you mentioned, the cut. What was your exact game plan? Now that it's over, we could talk about it a bit more. Did it start off the way you would have liked it, or were you kind of surprised with, you know, maybe Spratt trying to take it to the ground? He's not really known for that style of fighting. How did you view the fight now, just a few days later?
The fight went as I had planned. I shot in for the takedown quickly, got the takedown, which I was actually really happy with the takedown. But it was the very first punch that cut me on the feet. So I mean, it like I said, out of my control. And other than the cut, everything went exactly as I had planned up until I panicked and put myself in a bad position.
A lot of people were talking about Spratt's that big reach around punch while you guys were on the ground. So that wasn't the cut that wasn't the punch that actually cut you. It was when you guys were standing.
Yeah. He hit me with an uppercut as I shot in on the, like when I reshot after the first shot, and it clipped me with his glove. None of his shots on the feet actually caught me clean. But he hit me with an uppercut that I think the fingertip of the glove cut me right above the eye. And from there, when I shot in, I saw the blood dripping onto the canvas as I tried to finish the takedown. And that's about it.
Okay, so you're on the ground, you're bleeding, obviously, it's going into your eye, and we were sitting cage side, so we're able to hear what you were saying. Maybe the same wasn't true for the people watching at home, but you had mentioned to the referee that you couldn't see. I never actually heard you say that, you know, you wanted to stop fighting. Were you surprised with the way the whole situation was dealt, that they didn't, it kind of seemed as though he thought you were verbally submitting as opposed to just saying that you wanted to maybe have it cleaned up?
Yeah, I was actually surprised because I didn't want to stop fighting. I wanted to go on as long as I could, or until I actually got a doctor to look at the eye, and he called timeout. I actually just watched a video earlier this morning, and he called timeout. So I thought he was going to check the cut or have the doctor check the cut. And when he called timeout, I said, I can't see. And he took that as a verbal submission, and it's not really like I'm mad about it, but I was surprised that he stopped it right then instead of having the doctor cut it or look at it. But I'm pretty sure had the doctor looked at it, it would have been stopped anyways. So that's just what happened, I guess.
Did you have a chance to talk personally with Pete Spratt? Because, you know, as we spoke, he thought that you were talking smack about him leading up to the fight, and then everything that happened with the weight issues. Were you able to clear the air with him afterwards?
Yeah, actually, Pete's a really good guy, and we talked a little bit after the fight. I went back into his locker room, you know, apologized again. I can't apologize enough to him for the weight issues. Talk to him about how I felt the fight went, and told him, you know, the very first punch he hit me with cut me, and he was a really, you know, understanding guy. He was a good guy, and I really appreciated the opportunity he gave me to compete against him.
In the post-fight press conference, when you talked about wanting to take maybe 6 months to a year off, I was looking at Guy Mesker, and he actually had like a very surprised look on his face. And I interviewed him a couple of days ago, and he mentioned that he doesn't really agree with your approach. He thinks that maybe a couple months, and then you need to get back in there, especially because you're young. What do you say to Guy? When here's the guy, the matchmaking, the president of HGNet Fights, and he's saying that he doesn't really agree with the approach that you're taking for your career at such a young stage. Would you like to refute that?
There's really nothing I can say to that. I just feel, like I said, ever since the fight, and even before the fight, I had talked to my coach about taking a break after the fight, and whether I won or lost, it's something that I have to do. If I want to still have a passion for it and still compete at a top level, I have to take a break, or I'm not going to want to do it anymore. And it's the biggest issue for the break is letting my body catch up. I've like I said in the post fight press conference, I've gained 30 to 40 pounds in the past year and a half, and I need to figure out my diet. I need to figure out my exercise routine, everything, what weight class I'm even going to be in. And I think that is the main reason I'm taking the break. And not to mention, like I said, I'm burnt out. I'm at the point where I almost don't want to fight anymore, even though I love it so much,
Wow, that's a pretty bold statement. So in light of all that, I mean, let's just say that you're going to, you're going to regain that fire. You're going to want to fight again. Is there a chance that you might want to think about moving up a weight class? You said that you've gained all this weight now that you're growing. Has that ever crossed your mind?
I mean, yeah, it's crossed my mind. I've thought about moving up to 85, but that's a huge jump from 70 to 85. And the difference is, 20 pounds with certain fighters as far as the cut goes. So I'm not sure, to be honest. I just want to do what's best for my career, and it's going to take some time to figure that out.
Now, what do you think of the whole HGNet Fights experience? They have the fighters come out sort of standing next to each other. They have the PA. They have two guys talking on the PA, Matt Lindland and Tim Hughes, in between rounds. A little bit of a different experience than, the normal UFC show that fans are used to. As a fighter, what did you think of the production that they put on?
I thought it was a really good production. A lot of the stuff behind the scenes, not even involving the production, just HGNet Fights in general, their hospitality, they are the classiest organization I've ever been a part of. And I just appreciate everything they did for us. I know me, my teammate, Corey Mahon, who actually came away with a victory over Chris Bowles, and my corners were very pleased with the entire week we spent out in Dallas. And we look forward to sending some more guys out there.
Yeah, in the post-fight press conference, Andrew Simon kept trying to, the CEO of the company, kept trying to reinforce how well they treat the fighters. Can you give us a sort of example for us that don't fight and don't know what really is the difference between being treated well and not so well by promotion? What are a few examples of how they treated you so well?
I'll tell you the biggest thing that sticks out in my mind, basically the highlight of the trip for me, was Kevin Scott, the event coordinator. We were at the hotel the day of weigh-ins, after weigh-ins, and all the vans that they had to shuttle the fighters were out shuttling fighters. So we didn't have a way to go out and eat and, carb up before the fight. So Kevin, actually, we had talked to him about it, and he gave us the keys to his car and let us take that out to go get something to eat. And it just, you know, blew my mind that I don't think I'm ever going to see Dana White or,
right.
you know, any of the higher-ups at the UFC loan me their car to go get them to eat.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought I was down there, too. I thought everyone was top-notch, and they really put on a great show. So, Tristan, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about everything that went down this weekend. I know it was a tough one for you, but class act for taking the time here and sort of clearing the air. Good luck in the next year with the matchmaking and trying to get back on track, because I know you have a lot of fans out there and want to see the best for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to getting back, and but I'm also looking forward to the time off. So it's a much needed break, and I think I want to come back better than ever.